Can Florida State pull an upset on Monday night in what feels like a must-win game for Mike Norvell? That's what I'm breaking down today. So what's up, Knoll Nation? I'm Jesse from Planting the Spear, and thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Look, we got a big game coming to Tallahassee Monday night, 7:30 on ESPN, as number 19 SMU travels to town. And Florida State is a slight dog in this one, so it is technically going to be an upset if they are able to pull off the win. And this is a very crucial game, especially after the way the season started against New Mexico State. I mean, you are 1-0. You did get the win. But I think a lot of us are really kind of nervous about this game now, watching, you know, the way that just that game played out. And so this would be a massive kind of get right game for Florida State. But again, SMU is going to want to come in and start off their season, their conference play, right? And so there's a lot on the line in this game. You know, when we talk about these two teams, with Florida State getting SMU and then Alabama on the backside of it, and then you have SMU getting Florida State and then a kind of a cupcake game, and then Louisville, a trip to Louisville on the backside of it. Whoever loses this game could very well start 1-2. So this is a very high stakes game for both of these teams. And look, man, we're going to break it all down. I got some great nuggets that made its way into this episode, because after Saturday, I'm telling you, like, I picked Florida State in the preseason. I picked us to win this game for certain reasons. And, you know, I may or may not be standing by that. Stay tuned to the end of the show and you'll find out. But because of that feeling, because of what Saturday looked like, I did a lot of digging. Now, some of these nuggets aren't going to taste the best, right? But it cuts both ways. Some of these nuggets, they're going to make you feel a little bit better about what we might see on Monday night. So, man, I got a lot to get to. And I also got to get something off my chest before we get into this. But now, before we do that, let me bring you a quick word from today's sponsor. And that is, of course, Alumni Hall FSU. Look, these guys have great elite FSU gear. They have everything you need from head to toe to tailgate supplies and all the above. It's going to be my first stop when I get into Tallahassee this weekend for the game. 1415 Timberlane Road is the location, or you can shop online at alumnihall.com. And you can even shop online and pick up in store for a nice, easy, seamless experience. And make sure, if you're going to shop with them, to save 10% with code SPEAR. So we appreciate you supporting them and them supporting us. So let's start by setting up the big picture. As I mentioned, SMU does come in preseason top 25, number 19 in the country. I know we've already had week zero, but they haven't played yet. So they are sitting at number 19. They are a 3-point favorite over Florida State in Doak Campbell Stadium. And, you know, home field is usually worth about 2.5. So they're thinking they're about a 5.5-point favorite, which is a pretty slim margin considering. But the over-under on this is 52.5. The implied score breaks down to something roughly like SMU winning 28-24. Now, we have actually developed and trained our own Plant the Spear prediction model here, which I'm excited about. It's still in development stage, so we haven't really been talking a whole lot about it as I kind of feel out how good it is at predicting these games. It was a little bit closer to the score projection than the Vegas model was for the New Mexico State game. It actually has Florida State winning by 2.1 points. So far, so good. I'm liking the model. It may also have a computer virus, depending on how Monday goes. So we'll wait and see how that goes. So we got two models split on the decision here. Ours favors FSU by 2. Vegas favors SMU by 3. Now, like I said, I did pick Florida State to win this game, and I still feel like there is a good path for an upset here. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute. But I think really the big question is for Florida State is, you had that week zero game, right? Now, yeah, you might have put some stuff on film. You didn't put a lot on film because you didn't really show your hand a lot. But you did give yourself enough film to expose your weaknesses. So the big question for Florida State going into this game is, what did you learn from that? You saw your weaknesses. Did you fix them? You had 8 days between that game and Monday. Did you have enough time? Did you have enough film? Did you identify enough weaknesses that you can fix those in practice? Because if you can't, now SMU sees those practices, those weaknesses. Now SMU knows that you have a right tackle problem. Now SMU knows that your defensive line is not exactly dominant. Now they know the type of coverage that they're probably going to see. And so those are the things that you have to hope Florida State was able to get worked out this week before SMU comes to town. Now, the thing I had to get off my chest that I got to say it, man, is you know, game one looked like crap. There's just no way around it, right? I understand they weren't showing their hand. I understand all that stuff. Tony White said they were not running a vanilla game plan. You just struggled to put them away, right? And that is the concerning part. And it just kind of really puts a bad feeling in your stomach about this season going forward. Now, do I think that was week zero and it was the first game and there's first game jitters and there's a lot of things that can be worked out? Of course, that's why you schedule those games. You schedule those games against an opponent like New Mexico State so that if you play like you did on Saturday, you can still come out and win the game by three scores, right? Maybe that works inversely for SMU. Maybe they come out and they play a little sloppy like that in their first game, but maybe Florida State is a better opponent and can actually sneak up and get the win there. That's a big reason why I'm counting on Florida State to get this win. But irregardless to that, the first game did not look good. Now, with that being said, if they win on Monday, it won't matter. Nobody will care. They will look back and go, oh, well, you know, first game, things like that happens. They'll be fine. They just beat a good SMU team. Let's get a bye week and let's get on with Alabama and see what they can do against the Tide. But if they lose, it absolutely matters because, you know, here's the thing. If you had won by 30 plus points and covered the spread and looked good doing it, people probably would have just thought SMU was that good if you were to lose, right? They'd just be like, well, you know, Florida State's a pretty good squad this year, but, you know, SMU is top 25 preseason. SMU is second in the media poll to win the ACC. Like, maybe they're just a really good team. But now if SMU wins, until we see, like, a, you know, SMU go and beat Louisville or something like that, I think it's just going to be another add to the scale of the bad side for Florida State, right? People are going to go, oh, well, it's just Florida State. Man, they look bad against New Mexico State. They look bad against SMU. So it's writing a narrative about this team. Now, if they lose a close game and they look good doing it, I think Mike Norvell will be fine. But the pressure really, really cranks up against Alabama on the other side of it because, you know, not to mention you have Virginia, who looked really good in week zero, on the other side of Alabama. Thankfully, you get Central Arkansas as kind of a circuit breaker between these games to where you can kind of shut down any kind of losing streak, right, and get back in the win column. So there is that benefit of having Central Arkansas there. You also do get a week between SMU and Alabama as kind of another circuit breaker. Now, you can't win the bye week. You can probably lose the bye week. But it's just the thing, my point is, if you lose a close game, the pressure is going to be on to beat Alabama. Because if you start 2-2 with no Power Four wins, and let's just say that Virginia team is as legit as they look, and they're supposed to get their best linebacker back who wasn't even playing in that game, and they shut NC State down. If you end up going 2-3 in those first couple of games, those first five games, and you have trips to Louisville and Miami on the backside of that, I think Mike Norvell is done. I think this is going to be it. I mean, let's be honest, man. He got booed in his own stadium during a win. People are just fed up. I'm fed up, right? But man, if you come out here and you lose close, but you look good, yes, the pressure is going to ramp up for Alabama. If you lose and you badly and you look bad, like say they lose by 20, 30 points, man, I think it's a wrap. I think it is done because I don't think you're going to be able to go on the road and beat Alabama if you can't beat a team like SMU at home in their first game of the season. Man, I think it's all downhill from there, right? And the thing is, like, a lot of us gave him another chance. I was willing to give him another chance coming into this season. I thought maybe they had put together enough stuff to look good. And again, this is not me trying to overreact to the New Mexico State game. This is just more like Mike Norvell doesn't get the benefit of the doubt after going 7-17 the last 2 years, right? Like, we gave him the benefit of the doubt against Alabama, and then they've gone 2-7 against Power Four opponents ever since, right? We can't – that anchor is still tied to his leg. He has to drag that around because he earned it, right? We can't keep bringing up 23-4 and 19 straight wins forever. That doesn't do us any good now, right? So that's the thing to me is, like, that's why I say this is a must-win game, because if you don't beat SMU, suddenly that New Mexico State game that everybody has been pointing to nationally matters a lot more than you probably thought it did. You have an unimpressive win in week one or week zero. You lose in week two. You possibly, unless you go upset Alabama, which would be huge in Bryant-Denny, unless you go upset them, man, I think the end is near for Mike Norvell, and we're going to be talking about a coaching search before the end of the season. So, man, I'm just saying I feel like that is why this is a must-win for him because, again, he does not get the benefit of the doubt for, you know, a team coming off that 23 season where maybe you're like, okay, it's just a slow start, some new pieces and all that stuff. No, man, we can't keep making excuses for unimpressive wins, for things that look bad. It's just, it's tiring, right? It's tiring to get on. And I know it doesn't matter what the national talking heads say. I get it. But I'm so tired of getting on social media or watching the TV the day after a game and everyone's just kind of crapping on Florida State because you look terrible in all these games. Like, I'm just, this is a proud program. This is Florida freaking State. Act like it for once, right? Go and pound somebody into the ground. Go win a big game. And then don't, you know, crap the bed afterwards, right? And so that's my soapbox rant. I'm sorry for taking up a lot of time on that. But man, I'm just, the way that game played out last Saturday, I think that set up Monday to be such a huge game for Mike Norvell. If Florida State will be fine, right? If Florida State loses this game and then they lose to Alabama and the season goes off the rails and they end up getting a new coach, they'll be fine. They might even be better off than they were before. It's just going to take a rough season to get there. But for Mike Norvell, this could be it, right? And I don't think they're going to fire him after this game. But if you don't win this game and then you don't win Alabama and then you don't win Virginia, I think it's over and it's done. So you got to win this game. So let's actually talk about the game now. Whew. I had to get that off my chest because, man, I've just had this, I don't know, it's just feeling over the past couple of days, you know, like I was super cautiously optimistic coming into the season and that New Mexico State game just didn't do a whole lot to make me feel warm and fuzzy inside. That's just all I'm saying. But I will say about this game on Monday night, like, look, one of these stats I'm going to get into is going to show you the importance of Doak Campbell Stadium and how much we need a good crowd on Monday night. And I don't typically like pitch to the crowd to show up because you guys are going to show up anyway. The crowd versus New Mexico State was impressive, you know, for where we're at right now. We need that place. We need Doak to be rocking. And I'm going to be there for that game, heading down there this weekend. So I just want to put that out there. One of my favorite things about doing this is getting to meet our listeners, our PTS family, our friends down in Tallahassee or wherever we're at on game day. And so if you guys see me walking around Doak or you see me at a tailgate or you see me somewhere in that area around Tallahassee on that weekend, please do come up and say hello. Give me a go, Knowles. Again, I love it more than anything. So I'll be down there pretty much all day Sunday and Monday. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to hopefully catching up with some of you guys. Now let's talk about this game. Florida State versus SMU on Monday night, again, 7:30 p.m. ESPN. They have the slight edge over us, but they haven't played yet. So a lot of that is guesswork. A lot of what we're doing in this preview is going to be guesswork because we haven't seen SMU play, and that's the hard part. But they also haven't played yet, so that's the hard part for them is they don't know what they're going to look like. They just have practice film to go off of. Now, a couple of small things in this game that I would like to see cleaned up to start with before we talk about the offense and the defense is Florida State had 8 penalties for 85 yards versus New Mexico State last week, and one of those cost you a touchdown. Another one of those helped set up a field goal by New Mexico State. So those are the little things that when you're playing a game that you're going to have to win in the margins because that team is probably as good as you are, if not better, playing in your place. You can't have stuff like that happen, right? You're going to have a, you know, maybe a holding call here or there. You're going to have a penalty. I'm not saying you're going to have 0 penalties, but you can't have 85 yards in penalties. You can't have impactful penalties like the tripping call down in the red zone that ended up backing you up and costing you a touchdown, right? You cannot have those things happen against better teams. That is the first thing. The second thing to watch in this from the little things is, look, depth won't be as big of a gap this time, right? This is not New Mexico State coming to town. You won't probably be able to wear SMU down late, right? They got some dudes on that side of the ball. So Florida State, you know, you're going to have – you have to stay – I think Florida State needs to stay. You need to have this be a game in the fourth quarter. You need to stay ahead in this game, if at all possible, so you're not trying to play catch-up against an offense that is kind of built to go a little bit faster and throw a little bit better than yours. So those are two things that I'm watching just from an overall perspective. Now, let's talk about the SMU offense. Obviously, Most of you guys know they do have a new offensive coordinator set up, but it doesn't really make as much of a big difference. They have new coordinators on defense, too. We'll talk about it when we get there. It doesn't really make as much of a big difference for the offense as it does the defense because Rhett Lashley still calls the play. So nothing is really going to change, but they do have just some different titles there on the offensive side. They actually have three offensive coordinators, which is kind of crazy. But again, Rhett Lashley still calls plays. So they will go tempo on their offense. They did average 66 plays per game last year. They went over 70 just a couple of times. Coincidentally, New Mexico State ran 66 plays on Saturday. So about what you saw last week. Now, when we talk about the SMU offense, you got to start with the conversation with the quarterback, right? It's Kevin Jennings. Now, one situation to monitor is he did jam his finger, injure his finger on his throwing hand in fall camp. He did miss a week or two. Rhett Lashley did say that he was going to be back 100% by the time they get to Tallahassee. That said, he did miss a little bit of time, so that is something to watch. Maybe, you know, adds to the rust a little bit in the first game. But, you know, again, man, when we talk about Kevin Jennings, like, this is a whole different ballgame coming to town than what you saw on Saturday. And that quarterback played really well. But Kevin Jennings is an experienced veteran quarterback who has 2 years of experience as a starter in Rhett Lashley's system. He was top four in the ACC in yards and yards per attempt the past 2 years. He did throw. He's not perfect. He did throw for the most interceptions in the ACC last year and the second most in 2024. So, again, he's not perfect, but he's pretty darn good. In fact, he did throw at least one pick in every road game last year. So that is something to watch, too. And that's going to lead into something I have to talk about later that you're going to want to hear. He was actually – the crazy thing is now when we look back at last Saturday, it kind of lays the roadmap for Monday, right? What Florida State did on defense and kind of what you might get out of this. And what kind of concerns me a little bit is there's a lot of similarities between what SMU does and what New Mexico State tried to do against you, right? You're talking about a pass-heavy team, and when you look at him last year, Kevin Jennings, that is, he was actually decent under pressure, and he was better when blitzed. That sounds a lot like the guy that we saw last week, Trey Hedden. He actually performed better against the blitz than he did not, because Florida State, again, they would send guys, they would run that soft freaking zone behind it, which makes absolutely no sense. You rarely ever get home because he's getting the ball out fast. And he ended up being better against the blitz, and he kind of burns you against the blitz. So that's something that Florida State is going to have to watch out for this week. Like, you cannot run out that same game plan. You just can't do it. It's not going to work. The other difference is Jennings is a mobile quarterback, and the New Mexico State quarterback didn't really run at all. So if you leave the middle of the field as wide open as you did last Saturday, you're going to be in trouble, right? And this is what worries me. Not only are you dealing with a guy who can run the ball, like, he's not Jordan Travis. He's not Lamar Jackson or anything like that. But he did have 100 rushing yards against Louisville in 24. He did deal with an ankle injury last year, which severely limited his mobility, so he didn't run. So if you just look at his raw rushing numbers from last year, they don't look that impressive. But he can move. He can run. But here's what worries me the most when we talk about what we saw on Saturday and how that leads into Monday. So the big talking point when we brought up, you know, Florida State struggled to get pressure up front. Florida State brought the blitz but rarely ever got home. And everybody said, well, that New Mexico State quarterback was getting the ball out quick. That was their game plan. His average time to throw versus FSU was 2.33 seconds. Why am I concerned about this? Kevin Jennings' average time to throw in 2025, 2.66 seconds. So literally like 0.3 seconds longer. He gets the ball out quick. Only two games last year did he have a time to throw average over 3 seconds. Baylor was his highest at 3.69 seconds, and they brought the heat. They blitzed Kevin Jennings 73.3% of his dropbacks, but they also pressured him at 40%. Now, Florida State pressured New Mexico State quarterback 26.1% of the time and blitzed 50% of dropbacks. So to me, my thing when I look at the blitz package for Florida State this week, you either have to be more effective with the blitz or you have to be able to generate pressure with the front four and hope to get some coverage sacks, because you can't send five guys on every play or at least half the plays and then run that soft zone coverage behind it, because they'll eat you up, right? And another reason why I say that is because not only do we know Kevin Jennings gets the ball out fast, 2.66 seconds on average last year, 60% of his passes were under 10 yards last year. So again, man, they will take the underneath. They will take that dink and dunk down the field if you give it to them, if you allow it. They will take that. He was actually number one in the country in pass attempts behind the line of scrimmage last year. So again, man, if Florida State's going to play that 10, 12-yard cushion, they're going to take it, and they're going to drive down the field, and then they're going to try and score on that defense. With that being said, the crazy part about that you got to watch with SMU is Kevin Jennings, as I mentioned, was number one in the country in pass attempts behind the line of scrimmage. 60% of his pass yards or his passing attempts were under 10 yards. But he was also top 10 in most passing attempts over 20 yards last year, 15th in completion percentage, 5th in yardage, and 9th in touchdowns. So the thing is, man, they will dink and dunk and take the underneath and take what you give them. And as soon as you draw up to try and stop that, they will pop you over top. So, man, that's now Florida State DBs probably aren't going to get beat over the top because they play 30 yards downfield. But, man, if you give them that little 8-10 yards every single time, they're going to eat you up with it, and they're perfectly fine with that. So the other thing to watch here with Kevin Jennings is he does like to use the middle of the field, which was about where 80% of New Mexico State's yards and both touchdowns were located last week. So, man, again, you have to clean up the mistakes that you made because this is kind of the same exact game plan that they like to do. I mean, Trey Hedden was 13 of 16 for 123 yards and a touchdown from 0 to 9 yards. He was 8 to 10 for 111 yards on passes of 10 to 19. So they really, really ate you up on that short to intermediate passing game. Now, on the deep ball, he only went 1 of 9. And again, Kevin Jennings, they will take those deep shots. It probably won't be as much, but man, if they eat you up underneath and you draw up, they're going to be looking to take that shot. So man, it just, again, that scares me because with Jennings' passing style and his mobility, he will eat you up underneath if you allow it, right? It kind of is like I said, man, it's kind of like a copy and paste of last week, just against a better team. So Florida State absolutely must play better in the secondary this week, or they might give up instead of 273 yards. It might be 373 yards when you talk about a much better quarterback and more skilled receiving unit. Now, SMU will also have a much better running game than New Mexico State had that you'll have to account for. I mean, New Mexico State only ran it 23 times. You did a good job bottling them up, but they were one of the worst rushing teams in the country last year. So you're actually – SMU, again, the way you look at the breakdown of their offense, they are a pass-heavy team. They kind of run to set up the pass. But because I think they were 95th in rush offense last year, 13th in pass offense. So they run just enough to set up the pass. But the thing is, like, it's going to be better than what you saw against New Mexico State. So you're going to have to account for that. And they have a pretty good running back, too. But before we get to that, let's talk about the offensive line. Now, This is where I do get a little bit concerned because Florida State struggled to really, like, when you watch the tape back, and we did an all 22 review on the channel that I encourage you guys to go watch at. We're going to polish that up. We're going to get better at our film review. But the thing that you saw in that was there just wasn't a whole lot of the FSU front defensive linemen winning one-on-ones, right? No FSU defensive lineman had a win rate or one defensive lineman, Daryl Desir, had a pass rush win rate above 23%. So, like, you have to do better because that was against New Mexico State, and now you're getting one of the better offensive lines that you're going to face all season. They have three starters back from an offensive line that allowed just 19 sacks last year, and that's with Kevin Jennings being limited on his mobility. They also only allowed 18 sacks in 2024. So they got a pretty good offensive line and a pretty good offensive line coach there in Dallas. And two of the guys that are returning of the three were all ACC players last year, their center, Josh Bates, and their offensive tackle, PJ Williams. So, I mean, again, this is going to be one of the better offensive lines you're going to face. So those defensive linemen have to start winning some one-on-ones. I need to see more Kevin Wynn in this game. I need to see more Jordan Sanders and some of that size inside, guys who are able to actually move the line of scrimmage. I need to see these leaner defensive linemen that they decided to go with. I need to see them shooting gaps. I need to see them making some technique moves, some finesse moves to get in the backfield and cause havoc. I need you to wrap up and make the tackle when you get behind the line of scrimmage, which is a problem we saw last week where they would have a guy dead to rights and just whiff on the tackle. You have to clean those things up against an offensive line like this. Now, when we look at the SMU skill players, they did lose their top two running backs. but they added a running back transfer from Cal, Kendrick Raphael, who ran for 943 yards and 13 touchdowns last year. It sounds good on paper, but he did have the most carries by any back in the ACC, so there is some context around that number, right? Yes, 943 sounds good, and 13 touchdowns is a lot, but his average yards per carry was 4.06, which was 29th among running backs in the ACC. So I think he was like fifth in yards, but 29th in yards per carry, and roughly 25% of his rushing yards came against Texas Southern and Boston College, who had the 106th ranked rush defense. So the thing about him is, like, he's still good. He's just a durable power forward back. But in those two games against Texas Southern and Boston College, he averaged 42 carries, 241 yards, 5.74 yards per carry. Against every other defense that he faced, 190 carries, 702 yards, 3.69 yards per carry. So he does also contribute as a receiver. That will be something to watch out for, but he's more of a volume back than a explosive back. But he's still a guy that you have to account for because, you know, I understand that Tony White's priority is to stop the run, and I think they can do that in this game, right? I think, you know, you're talking about SMU that has a good line, but they were 95th in rush offense last year, and they have a back who's not the most explosive guy. So I think they can do that. But what you can't do is take away the run and have this turnout like the Miami game last year, you know, where you came in and you said, okay, we're going to stop the run, and you did. You did a great job. I think Mark Fletcher had like 40 yards in that game. But you got burned on the back end. You gave up passing touchdown, explosive play all over the place in the secondary. So that's what you can't have happen because they can run the points up pretty quick if you do that. Now, when we talk about wide receivers here, this is the biggest question mark for SMU's offense. They did lose four of their top six pass catchers from last year who combined for 65% of their receiving yards and 58% of their total receiving touchdowns last year. They do return number three wide receiver, Yamir Knight, who had over 600 yards and five touchdowns. They also added a transfer wide receiver from Eastern Carolina that put up 583 yards in 11 games, as well as, we know, Randy Pittman at tight end, who I'm sure is going to be looking for, you know, whatever, a little extra motivation in this game. So the thing is, like, they are capable at receiver. Kevin Jennings does have some weapons to work with, but it is a rebuilt group. In that wide receiver room, playing on the road in their first game together. So that is another thing that they have to settle in, man. And if Kevin Jennings really did miss a couple weeks in fall camp, that could put them a little bit farther behind. So that is something to watch. I mean, you can't always just replace production one for one. And they had some pretty good receivers last year. So we're going to have to see this group prove itself. Now, again, we know Yamir Knight and Yannick Smith, the transfer from Eastern Carolina. Those are two good guys, but, you know, they got to prove themselves in a real game situation. Now, let's flip over to the SMU defense and talk about this because there are some opportunities here. On paper, it's a really mixed bag, but there are some opportunities here for Florida State. But before we get into the defense, let me just remind you guys that we have the new Plant the Spear community over at our website, plantthespear.com. And it's a fun time. Like, all of our content is over there. We have live game day chats. We were firing it up last week during New Mexico State. It was a good time. Got a little spicy in there, had a little bit of fun in there. Cheers and jeers and all the above. So it's a great time to join. You can do that. Absolutely. You can get started absolutely for free with a 100% no strings attached account. Or if you would like to support the independent coverage that we bring you here at Plant the Spear, you can sign up for a PTS Insiders account. There are some additional benefits for that. And it starts at one low monthly price. So make sure you guys just check that out. Or if you'd like to support us right here on YouTube, you can sign up with a channel membership. And I do appreciate everyone who has jumped on that, that supports us. So thank you guys so much. Now let's talk about this SMU defense, right? It's an interesting read when you look at this defense. They were pretty solid last year. Now, 30th ranked scoring defense at 20.5 points per game. Florida State, I think, allowed around 22.5, so slightly better than your defense last year. Now, the thing that makes this interesting, unlike the offense, which I talked about before, they do have new co-DCs this year. They were internal promotions, so the scheme probably won't change much. But it will be a bigger change in the offense because this is, you know, the first time these guys are calling plays for this SMU defense. It's not like Rhett Lashley just changing the pieces underneath like Mike Norvell would, you know, in his offensive coordinator situation. Scott Simons led them for the past 4 years, and it's not like he got fired. He just moved on to be a linebackers coach for the Dallas Cowboys. So, I mean, he put together some really good defenses. So this is going to be a bit of a change for them. In game one, this, again, you're going to start to see a theme build here that I'll get to in just a minute. Now, rush defense on paper was legit last year, 19th in the country, 3.2 yards per carry allowed, 112 rushing yards per game, 5 total touchdowns allowed all season. That was tied for number one in the country with Ohio State. That sounds a little concerning, right? Because Florida State's identity is running the ball. You ran for over 200 yards last week, 5.6 yards per carry, which probably would have been a little bit higher, but you started taking knees at the end. So the thing is, like, Florida State, one of the keys to the game for me is run the ball. But that rush defense sounds scary. But there's some context to that, which I'm going to add in just a second. But before we do that, let's talk about the pass defense. The pass defense on paper last year was garbage. Like, it was trash. 283 yards per game, 135th in the country, 26 pass touchdowns allowed, 127th in the country. That sounds terrible. Sounds like, okay, maybe we need to throw the ball. Obviously, you don't project last year's stats over to this year's stats, this year's team, but both of these numbers need some context because I think you're going to see probably a lot of people that preview this game are going to look at they have a really good run defense and they have a really bad pass defense, but they're probably not going to give you the context that I'm about to. So the pass defense faced 6 top 25 passing offenses last year, 8 in the top 50, none ranked worse than 80th besides the FCS game. Their average opponent strength was 30th. Their average opponent passing offense rank was 30th. They also faced the most passing attempts per game in the country at over 40 attempts per game. So the thing is, like, when you see that their pass defense was bad, well, that's because they faced a lot of really, really darn good passing offenses who threw on them a lot because that was their strength, right? Now, that being said, they did frequently allow over the opponent's season average, though. Like, I think Baylor threw for something like 140 over their season average against them. So their pass defense was not great. I'm not saying that we should just throw out the 135th ranking, right? But they faced a lot of really good passing offenses. The inverse of that is the rush defense, right? The one thing that sounded like their strength. They faced 7 teams ranked 100th or lower in rush offense last year, plus an FCS opponent. So that's 8 opponents that basically just had a garbage running game, right? None, not a single rushing offense in the top 50. The highest, the average rank of rushing offense they faced last year was 99th. That is terrible. It's not hard to have a good rushing defense when you face teams that can't run the ball, right? And even the toughest one that they faced was Louisville last year. They were without Isaac and Kewon Brown. So they were missing 2 very good running backs. So those numbers are definitely inflated a little bit. So the takeaway for this is the pass defense wasn't quite as bad as it sounds. The rush defense wasn't quite as good as it sounds on paper either. So I think Florida State, despite knowing that, you need to stick to your identity, you need to run the ball, and you need to be willing to take some shots whenever that opens up. Now, the one thing to know about that defense, because again, the scheme's probably not going to change a whole lot, is their defense was aggressive and opportunistic. They generated 18 interceptions last year, which was 8th in the country, and 28 total takeaways, which was 5th in the country. So you have to protect the ball in this game. The win-loss splits really tell the story of this team last year. In wins last year, their defense allowed 6.5 yards per attempt, 12 passing touchdowns, and 15 interceptions. In losses, 8.2 yards per attempt allowed, 14 passing touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. So when SMU was able to steal possessions, his defense worked. When it stopped generating turnovers and offenses, they were able to attack it successfully and get wins. So that's going to be the thing, man. When you talk about Ashton Daniels and his game plan coming into this game, his assignment is very clear. You do not need to go out there and try and win a quarterback battle against Kevin Jennings. You know, if his stat line at the end of the night is 18 of 27 for 235 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and no interceptions, to me, that's a much better stat line than trying to go out there, air it out, 28 of 43 for 340 with 2 touchdowns, but you threw 2 or 3 picks, right? You got to take what the run game creates and throw off of that, right? Be efficient with the ball. I think they need to run Ashton Daniels a lot in this game. But again, you got to be willing to throw on a pass defense that showed you could pass on it last year. You need to get Deuce more involved in this game. You need to get Danzy and Boggs more involved in this game because you're going to have to throw it at some point. Now, when we talk about the personnel of the SMU defense, this is where I got some good news and some bad news, right? Let's start with the good news, and that is the SMU defensive line. They lost all 4 starters from last year, and the replacements are, they could prove to be good, but right now on paper, they're kind of so-so. It's been mostly G5 transfers that they backfilled with. There's a few homegrown guys that they brought up through the system. And then there's a couple of Power 4 guys who were mostly rotational type of transfers last year. Only one of the starting group on paper has impressive production, and it was at UMass, right? Now, I think he did produce in one FBS game or one Power 4 game, so he's a guy that you're going to have to watch. But again, I'm not saying this defensive front can't be good, but it's an all-new front without a lot of proven production that's going to try to replace a really impressive front line last year for SMU. Now, the one thing to note is they do have size, right? They do have 6 interior guys at or over 300 pounds. So they got some pretty big dudes on the inside of that defense, on the interior of that defensive line. But again, man, you know, last year's defensive line is going to be hard to replace for them because their starting defensive line last year combined, this is 4 guys, only 4 guys, they combined for 193 tackles, 42.5 tackles for loss, and 24 sacks. That was their top 4 in sacks and tackles for loss. They produced 71% of SMU sacks, 53% of their tackles for loss. The rest of the defensive line on the entire roster had 11 tackles for loss and 4 sacks combined. Again, we're talking about 42.5 and 24 compared to 11 and 4. Now, I know they brought in some transfers to try and replace that production, but that's not going to be easy to replace, especially in game 1 when you're still trying to get your footing under you. So this, again, is why this is one of the big reasons I like Florida State in this game, because unless that front just proves it's dominant out of nowhere, I think Florida State will have the ability with a struggling offensive line. Yeah, they're probably still better than New Mexico State, but I think you can have an opportunity if you open the playbook and you run Ashton Daniels to help that offensive line. I think you have a chance to run the ball in this game, and you're going to probably want to win this game a lot with game control. So you're going to need to run the ball, and I think you'll have an opportunity to do that. Now, on the inverse of that, the hard part is they bring back their top 3 linebackers who all graded out pretty well last year. So this could be the strength of their defense. So, you know, you're going to need to open holes and your backs are going to need to make something happen. But we saw them do that last week. So that is something to watch there as well in the heart of that defense. Now, getting to the SMU secondary, they did lose 2 starters. It was 3, but Ahmad Moses is one of the guys that got one of the TROs to return for a 5th year. And that's huge, right? Because he was their leading tackler at safety last year, had over 100 tackles and led the team in interceptions. So that's big, man. Now, he did end up having a back surgery last year. So I assume he's 100%. I'm not sure if he's 100%, but he's been practicing with the team. I believe they got everything cleared legally because he did have an extra year of eligibility, even though he did declare for the draft. So that was a huge get back for them. That was a huge kind of bad thing for us, right? Because he was a really good player for them last year, one of their best on defense in the secondary. But they did lose a safety who was their number 2 tackler last year. And again, you know, you're talking about a safety that wasn't, I wouldn't say, or excuse me, a secondary that's not elite, but they're pretty good. And so, you know, again, man, I just think when you look at Florida State's receivers, I think they can match up well with these DBs. It's just really going to be, can you run the ball against that defensive front that's being rebuilt? I think that's going to be one of your keys. Now, I want to talk, before I get into the most important talking point of this entire game, I want to talk a little bit about Florida State and what they need to do based on what we saw last week. For me, the Florida State offense needs to use more quick game. They need, you know, they got to help out Deuce, they got to help out that offensive line, right? You need to use more quick game. Throwing downfield was never Ashton Daniels' strength, right? We talked about this. We talked about it from his time at Stanford. We talked about it from his time at Auburn. We said, I think it was something like 70% of his interceptions came on only 37% of his passes. He was never a downfield thrower, right? You need to let him do what he excels at. And Florida State really didn't call a quarterback-friendly game, right? Now, he did miss. He has to be better in this game. Let's just say that, because he did miss some wide – I won't say wide open, but he did miss some touchdowns that he could have fit into a window against New Mexico State, right? But he wasn't really trusting his eyes. He wasn't really trusting what he was seeing. And so he has to do that. And here's the thing about Ashton Daniels too. Like, I know – because of his turnover history, and the one thing that he said he was working on the most here was trying to take care of the football and build his confidence. I know he's probably a little hesitant to take some risk. But, man, if you're a gunslinger like a Kevin Jennings or something like that where, yeah, you threw the ball 450 times, you threw for almost 4,000 yards, and you had 13 interceptions, but that you can live with that because you also had 26 touchdowns. Like, obviously you don't want to throw interceptions, but I don't want you to be timid, man. I don't want you to throw interceptions, but I need – if you see something there, trust what you see and get the ball out and throw it, because it probably did cost you about two touchdowns in that last game. So, to me, they need to call a little bit better game for Ashton Daniels. They need to call some more underneath stuff, some more quick game, because you can help that offensive line out that struggled to pass block last week. And then I also think it was part of the game plan for him not to run the ball a lot. Why not keep him healthy when you got two big games coming up where you're going to need to run him? It's time to run him, right? I think you're going to need to see double-digit carries in this game from Ashton Daniels. And I ain't talking about scrambles. I'm talking about called, designed quarterback runs. I think you're going to need to do that, right? So that's a big thing. The second big thing is, man, I think you need to find a fix to the right tackle problem, or at least have a very short leash on Chimdia. Now, Mike Norvell did talk about, he said very quickly that that offensive line, the starting five group, was still up for grabs. They were still kind of open jobs there. I think that's going to have to be true, right? If you have to move Paps out to tackle, bring in Paul Bowling, if you have to put, Jonathan Daniels at tackle or something like, you cannot let what happened last week happen again this week. You just can't. I hate that they didn't even try anybody in the game last week to see. So now you're kind of flying blind into SMU. If you do put a Jonathan Daniels there, if you do put Paul Bowling in, guys that didn't get a chance to get snaps last week, I still kind of wish they'd have done that for at least a drive late. The point is, you can't roll him out there and have that kind of performance again. You just can't. You're going to get your quarterback killed, and you're not going to be able to throw the ball effectively like you want to. And, you know, SMU may not have that dominant guy, but on the backside of this, Yanzi Pierre for Alabama is a game-wrecking type of defensive end. So you're going to have to figure out that right tackle spot, because they know it's a weakness, and they're going to attack it. So you have to have a better plan there. You know, the thing with Chimdia, and I want to cut him a little bit of slack here, is that was his first game coming from FCS to the Power 4 level, to the FBS level. He is certainly allowed to get better. But if he doesn't, you cannot let that go on for four quarters. You have to try somebody else. And if they get in there and blow it, then you can put them back in. But, man, you have to do a little bit better with that. Now, again, the offense last week, I think it wasn't like great, but it wasn't bad by any means. Obviously, we know they ran kind of a vanilla game plan. They were breaking in a brand new offensive line and a new quarterback in a game situation. They scored on 6 of 9 drives with 4 touchdowns that should have been 5 had you not have got the penalty. They went 100% in the red zone. So there are reasons to be encouraged about this offense. If Ashton Daniels can get his legs more involved, if you can get that right tackle situation just somewhat sorted out, if you can get the tight ends to block just a little bit better, if you can call a little bit better game plan for Ashton Daniels and scheme a few things up, I think you're probably going to see some trick plays in this game, because Mike Norvell knows he's got to win this game. So I don't think there's any reason to hold back. So I do think those are some things that the offense did well, and I think they will – that give me a little bit of hope for this week. Now, when we talk about the FSU defense, you have to tighten up the coverage and fix the bust right now. You cannot – we're going to work on this throughout the season – absolutely not, or you're going to lose this game. Communication, alignment and assignment, and spacing have to be better, period. They did get better in the second half of last week's game. I will give them credit for that. Once they settled in a little bit, Tony White talked about his nerves and a lot of that stuff, first game jitters. I think they're going to tighten down the rotation on the defense to get their best guys in there. But, man, you got to be better in this game, right? You have to be better, because this is an offense with a passing game that can pick you apart if you're not. Those same mistakes that their quarterback didn't see, that maybe he didn't quite have enough time to hold the ball for that extra half a second to let open up, this offensive line can do that. This quarterback can do that. These receivers are more talented than what you saw last week. So you cannot have that many busts on the back end, or else you're just going to be in trouble, right? I think the scheme needs to be smarter, or it needs to be fixed, right? It's just not – you can't keep doing – you can't keep bringing pressure like they did when you're trying to heat up a quarterback. You can't keep giving 10 to 12 yard cushions against a team that likes to take underneath stuff. You can't, and with a mobile quarterback, you just can't. And I'd like to see more man coverage this week. I'd like to see more press coverage this week. That's a big thing to me. The thing is, man, we watched a lot of this last year. Is Tony White actually going to adjust the scheme? even though you see what you're doing is not working, I don't know. Because you saw it eat you up last year and you didn't change it. So, I mean, you did at some point, but you still like that soft zone stuff. And then that's the first thing you come out with this week. So I think they definitely need to change that a little bit. I think they need to condense down the rotation at linebacker. Chris Jones and Mekhi Bayer and Caleb LaValle, they were clearly the best linebackers you have, right? And they played pretty darn well last week against New Mexico State. I don't think Blake Nicholson and Omar Graham had a great game. They weren't terrible, but they were kind of who we know them to be throughout their career. So again, I think this is another position group that you need to condense down the rotation. Obviously, you're going to have packages for those guys. Obviously, you're going to want to give those other guys some rest. But this is one where I think you need to stick with your best guys and let them play, let them get settled in, let them, you know, let them play. I think Chris Jones played like 30-something snaps. He needs to play 50 snaps on Monday night. You cannot have your best player standing on the sideline, period, right? Again, as I mentioned before, I think Kevin Wynn and Jordan Sanders need to play more reps because they're your size on the interior, right? And the thing is, man, like that defense, I feel like the offense can figure some things out. The defense I'm just more worried about in this game against this opponent with the strengths that they have. Like, I hate to say this, man, but Tony White's going to cost Mike Norvell his job, as if Mike Norvell hasn't done a bad enough job or a good enough job of trying to lose his job already. That defense is going to end up costing Mike his job if they don't do something. I think he was kind of frustrated in what he saw from that side of the ball last week. So they got to tighten some things up. Now, I know it kind of sounds like I talked a lot into picking SMU in this game, other than a few things like running the ball and the defensive front and all that stuff. I talked about how dangerous SMU can be against the things, the weaknesses that we showed, right? Our biggest weakness that we showed last week in the pass defense is SMU's strength, right? And so it doesn't feel great. But this, if you pay attention to one part of the show, this is where I want you to pay attention, because this changes this entire setup for me, right? SMU was a different team away from home last year. Really, even before that, like Jennings himself, the quarterback that we talked about all preview, was substantially different away from Dallas last season. In home games, his passing completion percentage was 74.2%. In road games, it was 59.8%. His yards per attempt went from 8.9 at home down to 7.4 on the road. He threw 15 touchdowns to 3 interceptions at home. In road or neutral site games last year, he threw 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. His passer rating at home was 170.7. It was 128 on the road. So again, man, as I mentioned before in the early part of this preview, Jennings threw at least one interception in all true road game or in all road or neutral site games last year. Now, that doesn't suddenly mean he's a bad quarterback outside of Dallas. It just means that is a situational advantage that Florida State has. And to me, that's why Doak matters the most. Now, disregarding what Tony White said about apparently stadium noise affecting the defense, which I think every defensive coordinator in the country wants stadium noise on a third down or when their team's out there on the field, their defense is out there on the field. It means Doak matters, right? You got to be loud. You got to, you know, hurt that communication and stuff like that between these guys. And really the thing when we talk about Kevin Jennings, that's not it. That's not the only thing that struggled outside of Dallas. SMU last year was 3-3 in true road games. They were 2-4 against the spread. When you talk about their road games, man, last year they struggled against a Missouri State team who was transitioning from FCS, first year in FBS. They were like a 27-point favorite and won by 18. They beat Clemson, but Clemson had a backup quarterback in that game. They lost to Wake Forest on the road, a team that you throttled last year at home, and we know Florida State plays better at home. Even the little bit of sloppiness, man. At home last year, SMU averaged 4.9 penalties per game for 45.3 yards. On the road, they averaged 8.1 penalties per game for 86.3 yards. That's roughly 3.2 penalties and 41 penalty yards per game away from Dallas. Continuing down the line, SMU's red zone defense also changed dramatically outside of Dallas last year. At home, their red zone touchdown rate allowed was 29.2%. In away or neutral games, it was 52.2%. That is a massive jump. In losses, they gave up 56.3%. So again, man, I'm telling you, like, now their offensive red zone scoring actually did go up from 84 to 96%, but the field goal percentage doubled from 11% to 24%. So they were getting more field goals on the road. So the thing is, you can start to see a pattern forming here, right? SMU was genuinely less clean away from home. And now you have to open your first game of the season in Doak Campbell Stadium, which leads me to the next big point that I want you to take away from this. Game two versus game one advantage. Like, under Rhett Lashley, SMU, hey, he could be our coach. Under Rhett Lashley, SMU is 0-4 against its first Power Four conference opponent of the season. Now, in fairness, some of these were G5, or when they were a G5 team. But in 2022, they lost to Maryland. In 2023, they lost to Oklahoma. In 2024, they lost to Baylor. BYU. In 2025, they lost to Baylor. So they have not won their first Power Four conference game since 2021. Guess who's their first Power Four conference game? That's right. It's on Monday night. Florida State, again, as I mentioned, will not only be your first Power Four, but it will actually be your season opener, which is another thing that SMU has struggled in the past 2 years. You look back to 2024 when that team made the playoffs, they opened against a Nevada team that finished with 3 wins and they trailed 24-13 entering the fourth quarter before they escaped 29-24. Last season, SMU beat East Texas A&M, a name that sounds familiar to us all because that's who we played. They beat them 42-13. That is the same East Texas A&M team that Florida State beat 77-3 a week later. And the offense only generated 28 points in that game because there were 2 touchdowns that came back for interception returns, for pick sixes. So, and they also committed 3 turnovers in that game. So, you know, the advantage isn't necessarily like we just played last week and they didn't. The advantage is, like, Florida State knows what's broken on their team. They know the weak points that they have to fix. They have actual game film showing that they have tackling problems and communication issues and protection issues and pressure issues and stuff like that. The difference in these games are, can Florida State go out and show that we learn from those, we fix those in a short window of 8 days. Now, thankfully, you had a couple extra days, and you fixed those. You identified the weaknesses, and you fixed it. SMU has not had that opportunity. Yes, they know your weaknesses too, but you didn't show them a lot, and you've had a chance to fix it. So they may – it may not work out, right? The thing is, SMU doesn't know their weaknesses yet. Now, it may take you a little bit to figure it out, but they haven't had a chance to do that. So, you know, to me, I think a lot of the big debate is, you know, who gets the advantage, the film or the not film, right? Well, think back to 2022 when Florida State got to play Duquesne and they got to work out some kinks. And then they went on the road and beat LSU in the Superdome, where they don't lose, is what I was told. And they did not get that game, even though they did not get the win, LSU didn't. And they didn't have, you know, even though they had the film. So to me, I think being able to play that game last week and play like you did and fix the mistakes, I think that's advantage FSU, right? And then you add on top of that, SMU's their first game against a Power Four opponent on the road, first ACC game in Doak Campbell Stadium at night, should be charged up, a juiced environment. To me, that presents a challenge for SMU, which is a big part of why I like FSU. Probably 90% of the reason I like Florida State in this game, right? That's the truth be told. Now, FSU's path to victory, to me, in this game, I think you need to run the football and remain committed to it. You probably need to win this game a lot with game control. I think you need to generate pressure without constantly blitzing Kevin Jennings. And if you do blitz him, you cannot run that soft coverage underneath. You cannot give them a 10, 12-yard cushion behind the blitz, and you have to get home more often. You need to try and make Jennings process post-snap reads and be able to force him into a mistake. Again, remember, he threw a pick in every road game last year, and that was one. A couple of them he had 2. In the bowl game, he had 3. You need to try and get him to make a mistake. I think you need to prevent SMU's tempo from creating communication failures, which we saw on the backside of that defense last week. So that's when you need to get – I would say you need to get them in second long and third and long. But you can't give that up, right? You can't do that this week. So that's one of your other keys, is be better on third down. You need to win the turnover margin, or at least be a draw. You cannot lose the turnover battle in this game. And then I think you really need to force SMU's new defensive front and offensive skill players to prove themselves. Prove they are the team that they were the last 2 years, right? Prove that these new pieces that they put in. Everybody's got roster turn. You know, we talk a lot about Florida State's new players. They got it too. Let's see them go out and prove that these guys can step into this year without missing a step, especially in game one, until they prove themselves. And then, man, again, use Doak Campbell Stadium to amplify SMU's road struggles. The red zone issues we talked about, the penalties they talked about, I talked about the turnovers and all that type of stuff. Those are the things where you need Doak to be the advantage. This is college football. This is what makes football so great. Doak needs to be rocking and making advantage, a home field advantage really count, right? And then the last thing is, I think you need to finish drives, right? You definitely have to get down in the red zone, go 6 for 6 like you did last week, but you need to come away. You need to come away with touchdowns. Now, how does SMU win this game? I think it's pretty simple. If you protect Jennings and make FSU blitz, and then you attack the voids behind the pressure, kind of like New Mexico State did last week, I think you're going to be in trouble. I think you need to use up-tempo offense if you're SMU to expose those communication issues and see if Florida State has them fixed. I think you need to force Ashton Daniels into obvious passing downs and attack that right tackle weakness unless they've got it fixed. And then you need to generate some turnovers. And then if they can survive Doak, you know, the atmosphere early and quiet it down a little bit and maybe make FSU abandon the run in a quiet stadium, I think you're in trouble. And so that's the path for SMU to be able to win this game. But like I said, man, when we boil it all down to get to the end here, SMU is probably a better team on paper. Now, when you look at just pure talent rankings, Florida State does hold the edge over SMU, but obviously we know SMU's coming in ranked. They made the ACC championship in the playoffs in 24. You know, they were like a couple of plays away from making the ACC championship last year. They're probably a better team on paper, but games aren't played on paper. This is SMU game one versus FSU game two. It's at Doak. It's at night. It's SMU replacing a lot of their defensive front production, their receiving production against the strongest component of FSU's week zero performance. Like, again, you're talking about their pass game is being rebuilt against a secondary that has some questions. That's okay. That's a good matchup. I'm sure they're going to test it. But you're also talking about Florida State's strength, running the ball, going against a rebuilt defensive front. If Florida State can establish the run and run the ball, I like them in this game. If this game were in Dallas, let's be honest, I would pick SMU. If this game were in week 7 and SMU had time to prove itself and settle it in, I might still pick SMU. But it's not. The setup is different. This particular matchup offers Florida State several legitimate situational advantages. FSU just has to prove you can actually use them. You have to actually prove the things we talked about, that Doak is a true home field advantage, that you can establish the run, that you fixed your mistakes, and that you can make SMU be the team that plays like you did last week, a little bit sloppy, and that you're just better enough that you can come out with a win in this one. So with that being said, it's almost impossible to predict a score with a team you've never seen play and a team that you didn't see play particularly well. I know SMU is the favorite by 3 here. Our model has Florida State winning by 2.1 points. I'm going to roll with our model. I'm going to knock on some wood because I don't feel comfortable about this. I'm giving Florida State another chance. I'm giving Mike Norvell and this team another chance. If they lose this game and they lose it ugly, I'm off the train. I think it's going to be a bad season after that. I think they know how much they need to win this game. I think they talked a lot in the press conferences. They didn't sound, you know, super panicked about what they saw last Saturday. So I think they're going to be able to clean some things up. I don't think you're going to go in here and like dominate SMU by any means, but at home at night, you got to tune up. They didn't. Give me Florida State in a nail biter, 28-27. Let's go, Noles. I'm getting Florida State with the win here to roll some momentum into Tuscaloosa after a bye week. So that's going to do it for the show, guys. Again, let me know if I'm crazy in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Let me know if you think. I mean, you know, it's funny. I will say this. I could honestly see this game going about 3 ways, right? And there's really only about 4 ways it can go. But I really kind of – I got this gut feel. This is what my gut is saying. I feel like Florida State's either going to squeak out a close one or SMU's probably just going to run away with it, right? I could also see SMU winning a close game if Florida State can make them make some mistakes. I don't see a situation where Florida State wins by, like, 3 scores or anything like that. But, man, it doesn't matter. What I tell you last week, like, if you win every game by 1 point, you're still a 16-0 national championship or champion. So go out and win this game. So that's going to be it for today, guys. I appreciate everybody watching. We will be back with our live college football Road to Saturday show on Friday, starting around noon. And of course, Monday night after the SMU game, we will be doing a post-game show. I will be doing it live from Tallahassee. I think Michael will be out of town for that one, but make sure you tune into that. I'll get set up as soon as I get out of Dope Campbell Stadium, and we'll do that. Again, if you're going to be in Tallahassee on Monday, if you're going to be in Tallahassee on Monday and you see me out and about, come up and say, hey, let's grab a picture. I'll post it or whatever, because I just love meeting our PTS family. So again, I appreciate all of you guys' support over the years. It really means a lot. That is the best part of this for us, is getting to meet and greet with you guys. So again, we greatly appreciate all your support. Make sure you check out alumnihall.com. Shop for some new Noel gear, save 10% with code SPEAR, and then check out our website at plantthespear.com. You can find all of our content over there, written articles, podcast episodes, videos, YouTube videos, all that stuff is right there in one convenient place on the website. I'm going to be getting the written SMU preview up here shortly. And so, yeah, and you can also join the PTS community over there and get direct access straight to Michael and myself. So again, thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you on the other side. I hope it's a win for Florida State, because they need it desperately. Thanks for watching. Go Noles.